You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Live from New York, it's the show that it produced one of the weirdest segments in sports television history, coming up in 45 minutes.
He's hyped up.
He is really excited about this.
I hope he's on those half as good
caffeinated beans again.
I didn't take too many of them today. Just the right amount today. Hold on a second. Are my Chiefs being disrespected in a run towards the Super Bowl? I did place a small wager last night. Emphasis on small. Meanwhile, a star defensive player and a bloviating analyst. That's not nice, Wilds. Who wrote that? Both say Dak has a shot at MVP. Vegas disagrees, but still. And finally, it's the best segment in all sports. What do you want me to tell you? A special playoff edition of Tears alongside Chris Broussard. I'm Kevin Wilds in a beautiful shirt. Nick, are you excited about this week's playoff tiers?
Oh, couldn't be more excited. And the committee rose to the occasion. For the playoff tiers, only 14 teams to rank. You can spend more time. Mm-hmm. Nobody's overlooked. I'm very proud of what the committee did last night.
We start with breaking news, however. After 14 seasons and a Super Bowl in Seattle, Pete Carroll is out. A statement from Seahawks Jody Allen says, quote, his role will evolve from head coach,
sure,
and he will remain an advisor with the organization. Nick, your reaction?
Rapid fire. Like, my initial reactions were one of the best ever, college pro. There's only a handful that have done it at a super high level in both. Jim Harbaugh is trying to reach the pinnacle in both. He came very close. Mm-hmm. Jimmy obviously did. Barry Switzer did, and Switzer isn't necessarily given the respect of the others because it was Jimmy's team. And then, of course, Pete Carroll. My second reaction was Russ and Pete kind of better together than apart.
Yeah.
For both of them. And so, and then my last reaction was, don't hire Dan Quinn.
Why?
Because if you're going to move on from Pete Carroll, do it to move into a new era, not to hold on to the bastions of the Legion of Boom defensive era. And I think that's what everybody thinks they're going to do. That is not what I would do. I was not overly impressed by Dan Quinn when his first time being a head coach with the Falcons. But even if I was, he's probably going to be a head coach somewhere. I wouldn't want him to be the head coach in Seattle. Pete Carroll did not see this coming. Pete Carroll at his end of season press conference was like, I think I'm going to be back. I plan to be back. Yep. I don't think he wanted to be out. So you're doing it because you want to move on. If you want to move on, then move on. And so those are all my kind of initial rapid fire thoughts when I first saw it.
Yeah, it was a gentle firing. That's what it is, right? Because at first they said he'll stay in the organization. I'm thinking like GM or something like that. But no, advisor, that means you're probably far away. Yep. Maybe you could be around, I guess, but you're probably far away and you're just advising. So it's a gentle way of firing a guy who has been kind of legendary.
A legend,
you know?
Yeah.
And so I was stunned. They had a good season. You know, I didn't pick them to make the playoffs, but a lot of people did, and they came close. They were a good team.
Yep.
I agree with you totally on the Russ thing. Like, it's a shame for both of them.
Yep.
Right? Now, I'm not saying they would be a contender necessarily with Russ. Maybe, because obviously they were still playing good football. I know they had the one bad year when he was injured his last year there. But he was better with Pete Carroll. And Pete Carroll, look, he obviously is a great coach in his own right and what he did at USC.
Mm-hmm.
But in the NFL, if my math is correct, he's 33-36 without Russell Wilson.
Oh, man.
And he's 104-53 with Russ. Like, Pete was a mediocre NFL coach. When you look at his records, he was a mediocre NFL coach until he got Russ. And I'm not saying it was only Russ. But when he got Russ, they started making the playoffs every year, obviously won the Super Bowl, got there again. So I think it's unfortunate, especially when Pete was going to be done like 2 years later. And Russ looks like he's not quite done.
Yeah, I mean,
but
I was,
the
Russ
way it's
is,
worked.
Just the flip side, to be fair to that, is we could also do the same thing. Here's Russell Wilson with Pete Carroll and without, which is why, like, I do think for both of them, it did feel like, you know, Russ wanted it to be over and wanted to move on. But it does feel like they maybe were best off together. And I thought Pete Carroll did a really good job last year. Actually, a great job last year with that Seahawks team that people thought was going to be a bottom five team in the league, getting them to the playoffs. Yep. And they, this year, were alive to make the postseason with
they
2 minutes
like
left
sure
in the final game of the year. And then I'm talking about even going into Sunday, the final game, they just needed Green Bay to lose, and Green Bay didn't.
I do like Dan Quinn there, though.
Okay.
That team, look, they've never had – only great quarterback they've ever had is Russell Wilson. All right, and they've always had good running games for the most part. Sean Alexander, Marshawn Lynch. Yep. Now they got some good running backs. And defense. So Quinn, obviously, I think would strengthen their defense. So I kind of like Quinn in that spot.
Just quickly, if you were to put an offensive coach in there, who do you want?
Oh, I think that, listen, I would be, I'd certainly call Jim Harbaugh and be like, hey, you had that fun little feud with Pete Carroll back with USC Stanford days. Do you want to replace him? Shane Waldron, I think, will get calls. Ben Johnson will get calls by everybody. Like, I just wouldn't want to try to just kind of, you know, kind of do a reunion tour of the good old days. I would try to fully turn the page.
Gotcha. Okay. As long as you didn't say Vrabel, I'm good.
No, he's not an offensive coach.
Chiefs Dolphins. Good point. A battle of Miami's number one scoring offense versus the ninth best offense in Kansas City. Mahomes confident that his offensive squad will get back on track. Take a listen.
I'm extremely confident, not only in our offense, but in the football team. You see how the defense is playing. Offensively, I feel like we're going to play our best football at the right time. And I think if we can just score, we don't have to score too much points. If we can just score enough points, our defense will shut the door, and we can find a way to get a win.
Okay. What's at stake for Kansas City this postseason?
Greatest five-year stretch in NFL history, and it's not arguable. They win the Super Bowl, it's the greatest five-year stretch in the history of the league. That right now, the five-year stretch they just completed, eight Mahomes' first year as a starter through last year, is outside of the top five. Best, you know, in a half decades, because the Steelers had two in the 70s kind of overlapping where they won 3 in 5 years. The Pats first run, the Cowboys in the 90s. Those are the best ones that are not the very best. The very best is the New England Patriots from 14 to 18. Won 3 Super Bowls, went to 4, were great every single year. Here's right now this moment how the past 5 years for the Chiefs measure up to that 5-year run by the Patriots. You'll see the regular season stuff, identical. Postseason losses, identical. You can look at it. If they win the Super Bowl, show it to us what it will look like. Well, same division titles, same conference championship appearances, same Super Bowl appearance, same Super Bowl wins, better playoff win-loss, better regular season win-loss. And that's right now the gold standard. That's right now the best 5-year run ever. So we can argue, Brew, about whether or not they're going to do it, whether it's realistic. But if they do it, it is inarguable. It's the best 5-year run ever. And what starts becoming arguable is, well, given what everyone has said about the Chiefs offense this year and the receivers and all of this, does this right there, that moment, put Mahomes in the GOAT conversation? Our friend Colin is already, I think, soft launching a Andy Reid GOAT coach conversation.
Come on,
I know you don't like it.
That's an absurd.
But I think Brew. I think the, you know, Brew makes not, the point not, about, you know, Andy, whether it's Donovan McNabb or Kevin Cobb or Alex Smith or Mike Vick, or you get the best of all these guys. And Belichick, if there's such a thing as legacy going backwards, it certainly had its reverse, you know, sire horns on for the last couple of years. I'm not saying I would go there, but it will be out there. But the Chiefs having the best 5-year run ever will be definitive if they can finish the deal this year.
Look, I don't disagree with a lot of what you said. I'm glad you took that positive route. All right, and that's fine. If they lose, they're not even a dynasty. All right, I think there's clearly, I think it's five definitive dynasties in modern NFL history. Six, going back to the 60s, they've all got at least three Super Bowl wins, and they all went back to back. And so to me, the Chiefs have to get to three. Now, obviously, they may get there in the future, but they've got to get three wins, three Super Bowl wins, and they've got to get back to back. So if they don't do that, I think kind of the dynasty thing for at least right now is out the window. For Mahomes, I will not say this, even though I think he's the best quarterback I've ever seen. I will not say he's the GOAT, but I bet you some people will start saying that.
If they win,
not,
if they win the Super Bowl,
they'll say with these receivers, he's got, because his individual numbers are going to be better than Brady's. And he's just, individually, he's better than Brady in terms of moving it out of the pocket and things like that. So if he has, I don't think he has to get to seven. I will say.
He needs to get to less than half.
I'm not saying, I think some people will say that. I think it's got to be like five. Okay. But I think a lot of people will start to say, man, come on. He just won with this group. He is the GOAT. And then I think if he loses quickly, if he loses, I think there will be those. So I'm going both extremes.
Sure.
There will be those that's, and if Baltimore wins, there will be those that say Lamar Jackson is the best quarterback in the NFL.
Can I say something?
And I will not be there either. But there will be those that say that.
I won't be there either, but I think that'll be fair.
Really?
I don't think that's an outrageous opinion. If Lamar, who will have one league MVP, then wins the Super Bowl, I won't believe it, but it won't register to me as, like, that's an untenable opinion. You understand what I mean? And so, like, I don't think that it would be ludicrous to say it because it's like he has the same amount of MVPs, like he just won the Super Bowl. And so I think will be ludicrous is the memory holding all of last season ever existing that's happening to Patrick right now, which is people asking, how good is Mahomes without all pro receivers? Well, I don't know. He's the defending MVP and Super Bowl MVP without all pro receivers last year.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of commentary this year that pretended last year didn't exist, but it did. So I wouldn't think the Lamar thing's unfair. On the Brady thing,
you agree, Wiles, though, it'll be out there.
Oh, certainly it'll be out there. And I won't think it's outrageous. I think that if you win league MVP and the Super Bowl, you were already considered one of the best.
Brady was viewed as the best every single year.
Right.
So,
and so, but on the Wilds, you got, you know, it seemed a little perturbed with Bruce talking GOAT stuff with Mahomes.
Will you be there? I don't think you'll be there either.
I don't know. Maybe. Well, how many rings Michael have when he was considered the GOAT? The answer is three. Kareem at that point had six. Russell obviously had 11. Magic had five. Michael retired after a short career when we thought he was really done. It's like, yeah, he's the best we've ever seen. He's the best in the postseason. He plays at a higher level. I don't care about the ring counting stuff. And for as far as the trajectory of it, Brady had three rings at the end of his 14th season.
Then he
went on another run.
Yep.
So Mahomes will be, forget the stats, MVPs, numbers. From a winning pace, Mahomes will be drastically ahead of where he was in that regard. So, no, I don't think it would be outrageous for people to believe it because people don't think the team's that good this year. Because
to be honest, if they win it, I mean, he may work magic, but they may win it like Brady won some of his. With the great defense, and he manages the game, a few clutch plays.
Won a lot of hits.
And that's fine. Yeah,
that's Bill Belichick. So stop dissing Bill Belichick. Well, I'm just saying.
Belichick is legendary. But he hadn't done anything without Tom Brady.
Weather will be cold, and the Chiefs' odds to win the Super Bowl, actually colder. Currently the fifth best odds to win the title. If you're anything like me, a $2 bet would net $22.
Wow.
That's pretty good, though.
Yeah, I thought you said you did four good units. That's an $8 bet, right?
I moved my unit down to 50 cents.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So. Do you think the Chiefs are being disrespected here, Broussard?
Not at all. Not in the least bit. They're 5-5 over their last 10 games, and I'm going to pull a Nick Wright. Here's the list of quarterbacks they beat.
Oh, I like this. You're right.
Tua looks great compared to the rest of these guys. Aiden O'Connell, Bailey Zappi, somebody named Jake Browning, Easton Stick. That's who they've beaten in their five wins.
Isn't
they're 1-4 against playoff teams this season and averaging fewer than 19 points a game against those playoff teams. And so, look, the only reason they're even fifth probably is because of their history and the respect for Mahomes and Andy Reid. And look at this graphic, Nick. They're 15th in the league in points per game. Only seven teams ever, not since 2000, ever have reached the Super Bowl when being 15th or worse in points per game. So they've got their work cut out for them, no question about it. And also, when you look at the history of the Super Bowl, like, nobody's gone back-to-back since 2004, the Patriots. Mm-hmm. So 19 years. So you look at, they haven't played well. They're not playing well against great teams. Teams don't generally nowadays win back-to-back Super Bowls. Like, the graphic I just showed, there are all types of reasons to think it's just not the year for them.
So this is – everything you said is true, and you're right. I do like looking at quarterbacks you've beaten. I think that is actually a pretty instructive case. Every point you're making is right, which is why they are being disrespected. Because what their ranking is not based off their history. Their ranking is, who are the four teams ahead of them? Oh, the one and the two seeds. That's it. Their ranking is based on their seed right now. Like, right now, they have the fifth best odds, which they should. They're the three seed. So you should have, and Detroit has the sixth best odds. Like, that's, right, the rankings
so you're saying
are.
They aren't being disrespectful.
No, I'm saying they are because they are being treated as if they are just your typical three seed. And everyone at this table knows they're not. Everyone at this table knows that. Does anyone question the defense?
No.
No, they don't. Okay, and they have this guy, we can show it to you right now, walking into the postseason. The best we've ever seen. So should they be getting a slight bump that is better than the typical three seed? Of course they should. Of course they should. They have the, statistically speaking, playoff GOAT quarterback, and statistically speaking, second playoff GOAT, not tight end, pass catcher. Can we show Travis Kelce's postseason numbers? Those aren't his ranks amongst tight ends. Those are his ranks amongst players. And he's behind in every category only Jerry Rice, who might be the greatest football player to ever live, who also played for 1,000 years and, you know, was in the...
He jumped Edelman.
He's jumped everyone, Wilds. He's number two in everything.
Really? Okay.
And by the way, he's number one in yards per game, even over Jerry, for guys who played at least a dozen playoff games. So do I think the Chiefs should get a little more respect than the typical three seed that goes into the playoffs a little uneasy? Yes, I would argue it's actually worked in the other direction. I would argue their history is why they're as low as they are. Because people are judging them against old Chiefs teams.
No, I don't think so, though. Because they haven't played well this year against good teams. They haven't played well for the whole second half of the season. Like, I think people are just looking at this season. And they're giving them a chance because of Mahomes. But so where would you have them be?
Right now, they should be third.
But, Brew, if
Baltimore and San Francisco should be ahead of them, they should be third.
Brew, if you we kick this around sometimes. If there was an idea that you could draft your opponents, right? If you were the captain of a playoff football team, do you think anyone is drafting the Chiefs super high? Or still sitting there like, oh, shoot, I guess I'll go to Arrowhead and play the Chiefs?
Well, so that's a good question. If you're Baltimore, and it's like, let's say Baltimore, you know, beats the Browns or the Texans in round two, and that game is on Saturday. And Sunday being played in Buffalo, divisional weekend, is Chiefs-Bills. And Baltimore gets to host either one, and let's say that there's no major injuries for either team. Who do you think the Baltimore Ravens are rooting to win that
obviously.
Game? Obviously. It's obviously the Bills. They
I don't
do
know
not,
if it's obvious. Look, I'm not saying they want the Chiefs. Obviously, you fear or have a healthy respect for the Chiefs. But I think, Nick, this year, the ceiling for both of these teams, at least what we've seen, Buffalo's has been higher. Now, Mahomes can obviously go crazy, even more so than Josh Allen, but we just haven't seen it this year. So I think Buffalo's shown you'll be thinking, man, Buffalo could come here and throw the game away. Or Buffalo could come here and wipe us out.
It's like LeBron as a 7 seed. Like, don't want to play him. Second time this year, the Chiefs are playing.
Chiefs fans coming out of you.
Thank you.
No,
that's true. That is true.
He's trying to get back on the bandwagon.
Second time this year, the Chiefs are playing Tyreek. Here's Andy Reid on his former wide receiver.
He's always ready to play, so he'll be fired up, I'm sure. And then our fan, it doesn't matter who comes in. I mean, our fans are like they're crazy every week. So I mean, it's going to be electric, no matter who's out there. But I know Tyreek will be fired up. I mean, but like he's probably like our fans. He's always fired up. So,
what's on the line for Tyreek?
Maybe a little regret.
Oh,
could it creep in just a bit? Let's just let thought exercise here.
Wow.
From a team success perspective, could you have written a worse script for Tyreek than, all right, your first year without Mahomes, they have the highest scoring team in the league, Mahomes wins MVP, they average 30 a game in the playoffs and win the Super Bowl, you guys don't win a playoff game, and your second year without Mahomes, you go to his building and he beats you. Like, is there, I understand he got his money and his yards. I would argue he was going to have good money and good stats if he stayed in Kansas City.
Warmer.
Do you think a little bit of angst can creep in if his season ends for the second year in round one, and for the second year, at the very least, the Chiefs are still playing, and maybe we'll see how far they can go?
Look, he obviously wants to win. And if he were in Kansas City, they would be probably the one seed and favorite to win the Super Bowl, at least right there with San Francisco.
Maybe with the number 18 defense. But, yeah, well, go ahead.
Well, I think he has nothing to lose. He's a wide receiver. Wide receivers are not judged by Super Bowls. That's why I said
right.
He wants to win. And so I don't want to, like, yeah, if they lose to the Chiefs, he's like, man, I want to get. But this dude's already got a Super Bowl. And Terrell Owens, Randy Moss didn't even win it with Tom Brady. All right, Larry Fitzgerald,
record,
Calvin Johnson, you're right, but Calvin Johnson, touchdown. None of those guys have even won one Super Bowl ring.
Yep.
Tyreek's won one, and Nick, this is why I completely disagree with the regret thing, because his numbers have been decidedly better in Miami than they were in Kansas City. And in Kansas City, sure, we were talking about he was a great receiver. No one was talking about him as a top five all time. And definitely, I mean, Hall of Famer probably would have made it.
But here's what I'll say.
Yeah. I think Super Bowl rings for receivers matter when you're really good, but you might not be like a superlatively great receiver.
Edelman, I'm not taking a shot at all. Edelman was a good, his legacy great. Is yeah. was
but
a great
he,
playoff
and,
performance.
And I don't think he'll get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I know you think he is. I don't think he is. But my favorite player growing up, Lynn Swann. In the Hall of Fame because of what he did in the Super Bowls,
yeah.
you know, because his numbers in the regular season weren't there. So I think Tyreek, he got more money. He's actually getting more individual glory and love than he did in Kansas City. And he still got a Super Bowl ring. So you can't even say he wasn't a winner.
All right, we got to go. Final
thoughts.
No,
it's fine.
Okay. Is Dak the real MVP? He's got a case. Next on FS1 and the Fox Sports Channel, Sirius XM.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
MVP basically a foregone conclusion. Not to Micah Parsons, who went to bat for his quarterback. Take a listen.
Lamar played great. Obviously, he's going to win MVP because how the media looks at it. But Dak played the best football in the NFL. I don't. As a quarterback, no one can tell me differently. The stats, the film, the plays he's been able to extend, what he did this year. He is by far my MVP.
It's great. First of all, Micah, you're doing an awesome job.
It's a great
play. If he didn't play football, I'd be like, here's Micah Parsons, a guy who lives in Texas, and he's still interesting. Okay, so this season, Lamar has more wins, obviously, but all the numbers there are closer than expected.
Well,
total TVs, Dak has 38, and Lamar only has 29.
Yeah.
So, Nick, is there a case that Dak's the real MVP? We're also welcoming in Greg Jennings, Super Bowl champion.
I think there's a very obvious and easy case. I think you can make a super compelling case for those two people and those two people only. As the year ended, with McCaffrey being hurt, his numbers slowing down, Purdy imploding in that one game, and I think having a bad three-game stretch, and Tyreek not coming close to 2,000 yards. Mm-hmm. I think there are two people who you can sit on television or in front of a microphone like Micah and make a compelling argument for, which is why I find it so odd that if the Vegas odd journey were close to be correct, it is a runaway. Mm-hmm. It is damn near unanimous. That's the part that I am not going to neg Lamar and act like that, you know, oh my God, Lamar doesn't deserve him. I think it's totally credible to vote for Lamar. But one of the things Brew was saying throughout the year that at one point was true and I no longer think is, oh, but it's such a weird year. When you look at Dak's numbers and the fact that his team did climb to the 2 seed, it's no longer a weird year. It's just like, oh, yeah, usually that wins MVP. Now, Lamar is a unique case because that it is a lot of eye test stuff. It is his impact on the game and the pressure he puts on defenses, which is why I'm totally fine with him winning it. But Dak should have if there's 50 first place votes, I think it's close enough to where it should be in the 20s to in the 20s, like a 28-22 vote split. And I think it's going to be closer to like 45 for Lamar, 3 for Dak, and a couple for Josh Allen.
Who would you vote for?
My vote would go to Lamar.
Yeah.
But I also oddly think that what hurt Dak was that Lamar didn't have to play in Week 18, and so we just totally threw away Dak's Week 18. Dak's Week 18, I know they're playing Washington, was wildly important. Yep. They lose that game. They didn't know the Eagles were going to lose too, but they could have fallen to the 5 seed, and he dealt and was awesome. So I just think there's a real, real case for it.
Look, I think it should be closer. I'm with Lamar, but it should be closer than the odds are saying.
Yes.
I think there's two strong. I mentioned the eye test for Lamar. Obviously, had the best record, but it's just one game separated.
Yes.
All right. But I think two big things, Greg, for Lamar. First of all, the injuries. All right. Dak had a top, 2-3 receiver on his team. All right. Lamar played he lost his top two running backs.
That's totally legit.
He lost his all-pro tight end or Pro Bowl tight end in Mark Andrews and made Isaiah Likely. Now he's a player. And, Nick, I remember, I don't know if you still agree, you said midway through the season, Kansas City's receiving core was better than Baltimore's. So he didn't have a great receiving core. I think it's good.
I agree with
right.
that.
Okay, so not a great receiving core. And so I think that's the first argument for Lamar over Dak. Secondly, and you know I'm big on who you do it against. Against the playoff teams, these are their numbers.
It's good.
Lamar was better. Look at the passing yards. He's right there. Obviously, we expect Dak to be better with that. But completion percentage, TD to interception ratio, yards per attempt, and obviously passer rating. So Lamar was better against the best teams over Dak, too. So I think those are the arguments why Lamar gets it.
What's interesting about this is early in the season, I was saying Dak is the MVP. So you guys know how I feel about Dak. He's had a tremendous season. I don't think there's a way you can make that case now simply because when they needed him to be great, those last three games, not the last three because the Washington was the last three, but you mentioned it was a throwaway.
But prior
clearly
to that.
A throwaway. But Buffalo on the road. We know they had road problems and road issues. Could they overcome those road issues and those woes? And he played great. He did not play great in that game, and they got blown out. And then you go to Miami.
I thought he was really good in Miami.
He was good in Miami, but you lose the game.
Not good.
And so you that's almost a wash. And so in those games, and then Detroit, it's like he was great in Detroit against Detroit. They won, but it's like a question mark on that game. Like, I understand. I understand. And then if I go back to Lamar, on top of all that you said, he was in a completely new offensive system. And the thing about Lamar was, okay, can he be a throwing quarterback? Can he come from behind? He checked every box. So it's hard to say you have a case that is comparable to Lamar. When you look at the numbers, absolutely. Right. Dak had a phenomenal year, a great year. You see the numbers and the stats and the rankings. He had a great year, but it's Lamar.
Sorry, this is Josh came up. A lot of the ideas that I say are just like my own concoctions. This is 100% 100% Josh.
I'm going to read. How the audience knows what? If it's smart or not? they're like, oh, that must be that Josh guy's
the
thing.
Vikings pick was all you.
That was Josh. Actually. I was like, I'll go with it, Josh. He got blown out twice, obviously, San Francisco and Buffalo. The last 8 MVPs combined, only 2 losses combined by 20-plus, and Dak had it twice in 1 year. So.
I would also say, Nick, that while Dak's numbers were very good and they were the best this year, the quarterbacks, they're not like typically it might be a guy with 40 touchdowns.
Oh, I agree with that.
5,000 yards. Like, they're really good, but they're not quite.
I know. You know they're not runaway MVP. Right. They don't measure up to Lamar's first MVP, either of the Mahomes MVPs, Rodgers, or Rodgers' last two MVPs. Yeah. That part I totally agree. Nobody this year threw for 5,000. Nobody threw for 40 touchdowns, much less 50 touchdowns, which we kind of got spoiled.
In 17 games, obviously.
Well, Mahomes may have left an MVP on the table then.
What do you mean?
This MVP was up for grabs. If he played at his normal Mahomesian level, that was an MVP he could have grabbed.
That's okay.
If they still had Tyreek, he'd have won MVP.
Well, guys, and they might not be the defending champions. We got to stop with if they still had Tyreek. They won the Super Bowl the year
they won it with Tyreek?
I don't know, but I know they did win it with Tyreek.
That wouldn't have been your pocket.
I know they did win it.
NFC wild card, Rams at Lions Sunday night. Stafford headed to his first home, Goff playing his old team. Lions favored by 3, and the Rams have been hot. 7-1 since the bye. And echoes of their Super Bowl team. Check this out. Season comparison. The turnovers are the same. Red zone touchdown percentage very similar. Rushing yards per game, they're even better now. Rushing TD is pretty similar. Except there's 8 there.
Not similar.
Actually, when I look at it.
Have you read any of this stuff? This is one of those things Josh gave you, but you
rushing
didn't look
is
before.
Better, much
You're
better.
Not saying they're it's the a lot, same. It's You're a lot saying difference. Better.
Better. It's better at everything. Say
better.
Josh, I was confused.
Josh, buddy, you're 1 for 3.
I was confused.
We're not playing baseball out here, friend. It's more like that. More like free throws.
Okay.
The question is the wrong team favorite.
Yeah. So it's not just that the Rams are as hot as any team in the league. We can show it to you. We can show them since Stafford came back from his injury, what have they done? And the answer is beat everyone except for one overtime loss to Baltimore, who in that time was just crushing people. So all of that's a positive as far as how they're playing. But I can obviously at times be a brilliant man, but I also can be a simple man. And let me just ask Greg Jennings this question.
Please.
Hey, in this game, which team has the better coach? Who? Come on. Ooh, who is the better coach?
I would go with the Rams.
Who has the better quarterback?
I would go with the Rams.
Who has the better defense? What are we talking about?
As far as being opportunistic.
Okay, what are we talking about? One team has the better coach, the better quarterback, the better defense. I would argue now that LaPorte is down, the better weapons. Like, what are we talking about? I mean, the Rams are clearly the better team.
I wouldn't say clearly.
Yeah.
The Lions, I'm going to give them some respect. Look, the Rams could win this game. I'm not sure which way I'm going yet. But the Lions, just like you said, Lions have had the better offense. Goff, Stafford is close. Right. I don't think it's as bad. Like, look at the numbers. I mean, Goff's numbers actually were better. All right, across the board. And I get that Stafford's gotten hot lately. But like I said, he is one interception drop away. I'm just saying. Now he's a darn near legend. And Nick on the call was putting him in the soup in the Hall of Fame.
No, I was not.
If they win the Super Bowl, and he could have been a GOAT in the negative sense had Tart not dropped that. So I'm just saying, I think that the Lions have played great football. The defense, I'm with Greg. Like, the defense has gotten better. When you go into Dallas, in a game Dallas has its antennas up for, and you hold them to 20 points, like, that's impressive. So,
it's 27.
And I thought they outplayed
the ball at the goal line. Whenever we talk about that Detroit-Dallas game, we talk about all the bad luck that went against Detroit. And I don't think it was the Detroit defense that all of a sudden, you know what I mean, where CeeDee Lamb fumbles at the inch line, or else that's 27 and they're up 14-3. Okay, right?
I mean, they spent more time.
We can't do that.
Entire analysis of that game has been because about a play that didn't happen.
There was a legit mistake made by the referees. But if we're going to count CD's long touchdown when the Lions guy was playing poor flag football, then he doesn't get credit for an extra touchdown because he spilled the ball out of the end zone.
No, we know.
Look, I don't think the wrong team is favored.
there's a lot of momentum if you're the Detroit Lions. There's a lot of positive energy in that city, in that locker room. This is their first home playoff game. Shoot, I wasn't even born the last time they had a playoff game at home. This is the first home game at Ford Field.
That's a lie. You're older than you're letting the audience know.
It's okay. And when you look at this team, like, they can score points. There's no team in the NFC that scares this team, and I think they're going to play with the chip and the edge because of what happened down in Dallas, because they feel like they should be the number two seed, and they had an opportunity to slip away from them. Despite how we all understand that it went down, they feel like this is a matchup that they can get done. And when you have a guy in Jared Goff, who we can say Matthew Stafford, he's kind of tied that bow, and he's coming back to Detroit and all the things. He has a Super Bowl already. But Jared Goff is the odd man out, where it's like, I haven't had a chance to get back at this team. Ooh. That outed me. And so he's going to be on that sideline prior to the game starting, and those guys are going to they're gonna rally around him. They're going to push him to be great. I think the Detroit Lions come away.
I think you guys are nuts.
And all those wins, wins that you're talking about with the Rams. I mean, it was Seattle, Arizona. I mean, Cleveland was a good win. You lose the Washington Saints.
They took the Ravens to overtime
in Baltimore.
That was a great game.
That's the one loss they've had since the bye.
So they have the better coach, the better quarterback.
But I don't think those gaps are as wide as you're saying. I mean,
you don't think Sean McVay's Campbell is a huge gap?
Look, people look at Dan Campbell because he's a big, huge guy and all these sayings and think he's not a cerebral coach. He has turned that team around.
He could be a very good 5'10". If I saw him go for two from the seven, I would think he's not that cerebral.
That's one bad play. I mean, come on.
Coming up next.
Give the dude some credit.
Say that to his face.
I'm just telling you.
The other thing, I'm not sure the Lions fans are going to
full-throatedly.
Coming up in a few short minutes, well, it's the most wonderful segment in all of sports. It's Nick's Tears. But right now, oh my goodness. Since the regular season is over and every game is obviously a must-win, we've modified our beloved and bewildering must-win segment into a new segment, sure to take the sports world by storm. Without further ado, a special playoff edition of Must Win called Can't Lose or Can't Lose. First up, Browns in Houston.
You're not going to explain it more?
That's it. Joe Flacco Renaissance versus the birth of a superstar, C.J. Stroud. Last time they matched up, Amari Cooper went for 265 and two touchdowns as the Browns won by 14. This season, the tale of the tape between Flacco, who is 38, and Stroud, who is 22. So we're going to start with you, Brew. You get the segment, correct? Flacco.
Kinda.
Can't lose, right? He can't lose. It's a can't lose.
He can't lose in that he's playing with house money.
Can't. So how?
This dude, he can't lose. Like, he can't, even if they lose, he doesn't lose.
Brew, he can't lose.
He's 38 years old, about to be, I think he's been 39 in a couple of weeks. He was sitting on his couch. He's resurrected himself, probably get on the team next year. Heck, might be starting. Win or lose, he's proven that he could be playing somewhere next year. So, can't lose.
Can't lose. Can't lose that match.
I don't know which. Yeah.
He can lose. Like, Joe Flacco's going to lose. He's not the best quarterback in this game.
I don't understand.
Like, what do you mean? Am I getting it wrong?
Yeah, you're getting it wrong.
He is getting it wrong.
We're not picking.
First of all, he's Cleveland, the land. Cleveland's going to win this game. Okay. I love C.J. Stroud like
is
you.
Is Flacco in a can't-lose NFC? Yeah. No, he's not.
Okay, first of all, that's wrong. He's definitely not in a can't. We should take that off the screen. He's definitely not in a can't-lose NFC wildcard game because this game's being played in the AFC. But that ad, that makes it even more confusing. Thank you, Ubs. That makes it a little more confusing.
I'm lost.
But Wilds,
can I help our co-host and the audience?
Please.
Guys, there is, man. Dak, you can't lose to the Packers.
Can't lose.
And there's Flacco. saying he can't lose no matter what happens.
Can't lose.
That's the situation Flacco is in.
You
he is, as Drew put it, he's playing with house money. He can't lose.
Can't
I
lose.
Also do think the Browns, I lean to, as Drew is, I'm not official on this, but I'm leaning Browns in this game, so I don't think he's going to lose. There we go. Well done. Quick change. But, yeah, he's in a can't lose.
He can't lose.
Exactly.
In your mind, is this a must-win for C.J. Stroud?
I'm not answering your question.
Moving on. Next up, Josh Allen.
Hosting the Steelers, Bills are 10-point favorites against the Steelers team, missing T.J. Watt. But hold on a second. Here's the last few games with the Bills as double-digit favorites. Remember, they don't get blown out. But are you okay, bro?
Yes.
Goodness.
I'm good.
Okay. Yeah. These have all been tight wins, including some unimpressive victories down the stretch. So, Brew, tell me if I'm wrong. This is a classic can't lose. Josh Allen can't lose this game.
He cannot lose this game.
You get it.
All right? He cannot lose this game. The Pittsburgh, they got Mason Rudolph at quarterback. They haven't won a playoff game in, what, 6 years or something like that? They're lucky to be in the playoffs. T.J. Watt is out. Josh Allen, you cannot lose this game, because if you lose it, you're probably losing your head coach.
Wow.
That's a fact. Yeah, you can't lose this game. You just won, ripped off 5 straight regular season ending wins to get in this position to play the Pittsburgh Steelers, or whoever would have ended up being the 7th seed. It just happens to be the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they're without their best player in T.J. Watt. Yeah, you cannot lose this game.
So these guys are all exactly right. The odd thing about this, the Bills never get blown out thing, that's totally true, except for, of course, the postseason.
Mm-mm.
When 2 of their last 3 postseasons have ended in blowout losses. The AFC title game to the Chiefs and last year to the Bengals, and then the one that wasn't a blowout was obviously the epic round 2 game against the Chiefs in the divisional round, a loss that was also the biggest win of Josh Allen's career. It's such an odd spot. But no, you can't lose.
Can't lose.
Had they lost to the Dolphins, then they are in a totally different spot. Had they lost to the Dolphins and then they're playing the Dolphins on the road as the 7th seed and you lose again, it's like, okay, that team was just better than us this, you know, over the course of the year. But because you ended up as the 2 seed and because you're playing, I think the team that of all 14 playoff teams is taken the least seriously. The team that we all feel like is probably the luckiest to be there in Pittsburgh. Certainly the team with the quarterback that is trusted the least in Mason Rudolph. Yeah, you can't lose this game if you're Josh Allen on the Bills, which is the exact type of game they tend to. But
that's the
you
thing.
Can't.
No, it's, all, it's like
they Bills, could lose. They can't lose, but they could lose.
That's exactly right.
I think the Steelers, though, are in a classic can't lose.
Yes,
they absolutely can't lose.
Okay, finally,
such a
buckle up, Jalen versus the Big Show. Super Bowl silver medalists are floundering, sorry Dusty, while the Big Show did just enough last week to clinch the NFC South with a 9-0 win. Quick double up. Brew, it's going to go to you. This feels like a can't lose for Jalen and a can't lose for Baker, right? You feel like that?
Well, yeah. Honestly, like Jalen can't lose.
Exactly. He can't. No.
Can't lose. I think they both.
That's right.
I think they both can't lose. Because here's my thing with Jalen. It's over. The Eagles, everybody thinks they're done. All right, so if they lose in the second round, they were S-Bob. If they lose in the second round, is it going to feel any better? I mean, if they lose this game, people are writing them off. They lost 5 of 6. They
this
look
would
terrible.
This would definitely
no, it would
stop
be, but he. So what are people going to write off Jalen Hurts if they lose? People expect them to lose now.
No.
And they also are saying favored, he's injured.
No.
I really think if they lose this game, people going to be upset. They're going to be ticked off in Philly. But the season is already a mess.
This is where I totally disagree. You're right, the season is a mess. You're right that at this point, Eagles fans have kind of baked in a level of disappointment. That is worlds away from losing to the Tampa Bay Bucs and an injured Baker Mayfield on Monday Night Football.
Now he's injured. Now he's injured.
What do you mean now he's injured?
Well, his ribs are
injured. He's playing.
Baker's in a can't lose.
I'm not going to argue with you guys about Jaylen's whether or not an injured player is injured. We all saw the game. We all saw him be injured. He could barely walk off the field after the interview, which is why Jalen Hurts and the Eagles, Greg, can't lose this game.
Okay.
You lose this game, your coach might be fired. Baker is in a can't lose. But Jalen is in a can't lose.
Greg, that's where they're at. That?
This is a Hurts can't lose.
Can't lose.
You can't lose. And not only because you have the better team on paper, and just clearly the better team. Yeah, bro.
You just jumped off the floor. 8 days ago,
you had him in the Super Bowl.
I know. I was trying, but now I had to put on I think I'm going to pick Philly. I'm just saying if they lose this game, you guys are acting like people are going to be shocked. Like, oh my gosh, they lost to the Buccaneers. No. People expect them to lose now. They just got mopped by the Giants and the Cardinals.
You know what? The other day, I gave you grace.
You can't take it back. You cannot take it back. You gave
it back. You can't go from one extreme to the other.
One game ago, you believed in them going to the Super Bowl. Now you're like they might as well forfeit.
I think I'm going to pick them, but I'm just saying.
What?
If they lose, it's going to be great.
Good call.
Once we figured out what it was,
live from New York, it's a show wishing Rob Parker an early happy birthday.
Huh? Wow. His birthday is actually today.
First things first. Today, the one reason the Steelers might steal the game from Buffalo. Meanwhile, Kawhi back on the Clippers for 3 years. Does that mean Broussard is back too?
When did he ever leave?
They're balling. Wow. I'm just saying, they're balling.
That's true.
I'm a mystery man with the Clippers. I have no idea where I'm at.
But right now, of course, it's Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Let me get you caught up to speed. Last night, while eating two paninis and underrating the Packers' defense,
this guy,
a select group of fans, stands, and tomato cans. Now met at a candlelit crumble cookie store to fight and toil. Burn the midnight oil to construct the best segment in all of sports media. It's an honor and a privilege. It's time for the first playoff edition of Knicks Tears.
Also, if I may, it is a pleasure to have once upon a time committee member Greg Jennings back with us for the tears. It's been a full 5 weeks since Greg's been here for a tears segment.
Didn't he get excommunicated?
Because of holidays and vacation and things. Wow. And so, sometimes, especially in the important tears, I like to be able to look to the side and say, he's been in that room with me. He understands
how hard it is. You kicked him out.
Well, no.
He got excommunicated.
Term limited. He was term limited. Bottom of the tears. Dead team walking, the Eagles. They've lost 5 of 6. They have no identity or direction. They might not have a coach. They certainly don't have a defensive coordinator, which is odd because they actually have two. And somehow their offensive coordinator's getting head coaching interviews. I don't understand any of it. I do know this. They were, even though some people had them going to the Super Bowls recently as 6 days ago, they are currently the dead team walking. Next row, hell of a story. For Tampa and Pittsburgh, it's already been a great story getting here. It would be an unbelievable story if Tampa were able to beat the defending NFC champions in round one, or if Pittsburgh were able to beat the two-time defending media Super Bowl champions in round one. Either way, it's a hell of a story that they're here. Get the offense rolling. They're going to have to score 30 to have any chance. Now, that's easier said than done. Dallas has allowed 30 one time at home all year. Kansas City has allowed 30 one time in the past 2 years. And I don't think, given the Dolphins' defensive injuries and given the Packers' lack of defensive personnel, despite what they did in that game against the Chiefs, when I don't think that same officiating crew is going to help them out with the no-call defensive pass interference either, Wilds. I think they're going to have to win a shootout. I don't know that either can, but that's their only hope. Terrible draw. This is a shame because these are fun seasons from fun teams, and they got, in my opinion, their worst case scenario round one matchups. For the Lions, you have to deal with the ghosts of Christmas past walking back into the building with Matt Stafford. You are also all of a sudden going to have Dan Campbell in a tactical battle with Sean McVay. I don't think that's going to work out great. On the other side, for the Texans, you once again make the playoffs. You're the first playoff game, your regular Saturday afternoon slot, and you're playing a team that has, while you have no experience, they have the most experienced, second most experienced quarterback in the postseason, and a defensive front that is going to be able to disrupt your offense unlike any other defense in the postseason, and a secondary that's going to be able to take away your only healthy receiver yet, Nico Collins. I like both of these teams. I've enjoyed watching them. I think it's a terrible draw. Don't kill us, quarterback. This goes in both directions. Listen, both these teams should be able to win round one based on defense and running game alone. However, Joe Flacco, despite the fact it's been a wonderful story, leads the NFL in interceptions since he took over as the starting quarterback for the Cleveland Browns. Meanwhile, Josh Allen has 22 giveaways on the season. Only Wilds guy Sam Howell has more. You need Flacco and Allen to make big plays to win your round two games. To win your round one games, you just need them not to make big mistakes given what you're up against. Prepare the busts. This is what Brew and I got so argumentative about in the morning call. If the Los Angeles Rams win the Super Bowl, Sean McVay and Matt Stafford are Hall of Famers.
McVay is it now too?
Sean McVay would have been to three Super Bowls and won two. He could walk away and be Hall of Famer. The late, great John Madden went to one Super Bowl in a short career, walked away, made it. He would be in. And Stafford just made his second Pro Bowl, and I know that surprised people. He only made one before. If he has the numbers, if he has two Super Bowls, that he's in. Deja vu. Great defense, a ton of weapons, a good draw. Don't let it happen again. In 2019, this was the story for a 13-win Niner team, and then quarterback play in the Super Bowl killed him. In 2021, this was the story for a 13-win Niner team, and then quarterback play in the NFC title game killed them. In 2022, this was the story for an excellent Niner team. Might have been 10 wins in 2021, pardon me, and quarterback injury killed them. They have had a Super Bowl caliber team four of the last 6 years, and quarterback play has killed them. They hope it does not happen again. Okay. Now the rest, Bob. You know what, Brew?
Wow.
You were right. You know what? We argued about it all year. Brew, I thought
this
about it.
This is a W.
I thought about it.
This is a W,
you know what?
For me.
Wilds, wow. It's rare. Cat 3 opinion by me. Really? Just wrong. Brew was right all along. The Cowboys are, in fact, Super Bowl or bust. And finally, atop the tiers, an all-time team. The Ravens, a plus 200-point differential, an MVP at quarterback, the number one scoring defense. They check all the boxes. And that might... That's 13.
They're not tricking...
Still the champs! Okay. Oh, everybody 0-0, and they are still, in fact, the champions. Throw the regular season out. You want to face Mahomes? You want to face Reed? I don't think you do. There it is, Greg Jennings.
Okay.
Wild card week in tears.
I'm just jumping straight to you. The Chiefs, stop it.
What?
Cut it out, Nick. You've done this all season
long,
and I'm not buying it. And I tune in when I'm not here in your little A-block where I'm not invited. It's just the three amigos. And you talk about how great Patrick Mahomes is and being the best quarterback and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
But can we see how good he's really been in comparison to all these quarterbacks?
Full image.
Are we kidding me? What are we doing, guys? Don't do this to me.
Okay,
my full screen has to support my take. This is not going to go over great.
I thought I was like, oh, wow, they're not good. Full image.
You know what?
Holder.
Yeah. You know what? I don't even need it.
Okay, go ahead.
When you look at below five, when you don't need it, it shows up. Look at these numbers. These are the quarterback play of teams below 500 record that are quarterbacks that are remaining in the postseason. Look at Mahomes, 1-4. And then we might say, well, yeah, because it's receivers and you put it on the receivers. Well, let's look at his yards per pass when we talk about the receivers. It's not just about the drops. It's they've reduced their style of offense to, you know what, let's just try to get these guys the ball, and they don't get the ball down the field. Mm. So he has the lowest yards per pass.
Good, right?
And then when you look at passer rating.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes is great, right? Oh, wait.
Wow.
Jared Goff is all the way to the right at 87. Stafford, 80, Woo, where's Mahomes?
We're a Mahomes-friendly show,
this is,
however.
Look, we can act as though this is the Mahomes of old. This is the Kansas City of old. They're not, Nick.
Okay.
And you will find out sooner rather than later. Mm, the Chiefs should not be a top of team.
Excuse me, I'm allergic to nonsense. All right, so I'm going to bring up a dynasty of yore. Oh. So, Greg, you were a basketball player, and you're certainly a basketball fan. 2002, the Los Angeles Lakers, they were going for their third ring. They were trying to cement a dynasty.
Third straight.
And, well, their third ring, though. Yes, it would have been third straight, but it also was their third ring of the Shaq Kobe era. And unlike in years past, they weren't the one seed. They weren't even the two seed. They, in fact, were the three seed. And they had to go on the road in round two and on the road in round three. And that ended with everyone being like, oh, wait. We really thought the Kings were going to do it, did we? That seemed pretty foolish. Now, maybe the refs had something to do with that. By the way, I'm not opposed to that either. However, we'll just see. If you have an opportunity to be right. You've been beating the drum throughout the week that the Chiefs are dead and done and losing to the Dolphins. We'll see. Go
Greg,
ahead.
Greg, excellent job. Thank excellent you. Job. And on that graphic about records against winning teams was Dak Prescott and the Cowboys at 3-4. So how in the world, I'll handle the Niners being third. I get it with the Chiefs. That's your team. You want them on the top. We know they don't deserve to be there, but you throw them up there, that's fine. Ravens, yes. How in the world are the Cowboys ahead of the San Francisco 49ers?
I know.
Niners 5-3 against teams with winning records. Cowboys 3-4. Nick, you just last couple segments ago, who has the better head coach, Kyle Shanahan or Mike McCarthy?
The Niners.
Okay. Who has the better defense?
That's a close one.
Nobody's saying, run the ball.
But you're leaving out the most
Niners.
Important one.
Yeah, but I think you would say the best defense is the Niners.
You're leaving out the most important one.
Well, look, statistically, Brock Purdy is very close to Dak Prescott. I think Dak is better quarterback.
Yeah.
But playoff. I mean, I think that's what you want to hold against Brock. Brock has actually been very good in the playoffs. Passer rating.
No, he has not.
Better.
He has not.
Completion percentage. This is 2-1.
This is ridiculous.
He played two full games. One of them he threw for 300-plus and three TDs.
He had one good playoff game.
And one of them he outplayed Dak. That's what you were in that wonder. He was clean. He was clean, and Dak was dirty and threw two interceptions, and he was better. So there is no – and not to mention – the 32-point drubbing. Look at the bottom.
Yeah,
49ers beating Dallas by 32 wasn't enough?
No.
How in the world can you put Dallas ahead of the Niners right now with a straight face?
Because I think they're better. And because they're their quarterback.
42-10.
I mean, I'm sorry. I think they're – Greg,
how many times you get beat by 32 points by teams that were worse than you?
I know we have viewed the Niners in a certain light and the Cowboys in another light. They both won 12 games this year. To Brew's point, statistically speaking, their quarterbacks had similar production, but the Cowboys was better. The Cowboys and Niners defense, to me, is a coin flip. I don't think you can say hands down the Niners have a better defense than Dallas. Brew, you have argued every time I've argued against Purdy being MVP, you have made the case the Cowboys' offensive line and the Cowboys' weapons is great.
It is.
So, yeah. So, Birdie I'll did take it with the team whose quarterback I trust more. Go ahead, Wilds.
I'm here to turn over a new leaf. Because remember, I'm adding something to my New Year's resolutions. As you know, I gave up defending Mac Jones, Casamigos and Soda, and also picking against the Cowboys. I've picked against the Cowboys.
Every week?
Not every week, but a lot. Yeah. I've been waiting for this F game. I'm trying to time the F game. I can't do it anymore. I'm moving the Cowboys above the Ravens as the number two team, and here's
what?
Why. First of all, they're 16-0 at home. And a while I was like you, I was like, well, you know, they're due for a loss. I'm like, no, they're not. They're just going to be 17-0, and then they're going to be 18-0, so I'm done picking against them. The other thing I'm ready to admit, as much as we want to talk about Tyreek Hill, and because he does backflips, I guess, CeeDee Lamb is him. CeeDee Lamb seems like he's all over the field, seems like he's always open. They're running interesting little handoffs to him. I'm now officially a CeeDee Lamb fan. And finally, I sampled one of your takes. Some people would say stole.
Yeah, that's what you typically do.
Sample.
Sample.
Check, because I bought
Shopping
you that
thing.
Oh, yeah.
Part of the payment. Two seeds don't lose. So I'm claiming that this is better than a bye. But Wilds, are they better than the Ravens who are on a bye? Yeah. I would rather have a Cowboys team host the Packers, beat up on the Packers,
than have a rusty Ravens team who've had 3 weeks off, relaxing, going to the national championship game, playing video games. So I'm going to take the Cowboys.
Wilds?
Yes?
Cogent analysis and commentary like that might just get you an invite to next year's committee meetings.
Not interested in that. I want to be a Chiefs fan.
Coming up,
retracts the statements.
Steelers, Bills. Are the Bills going to the Super Bowl? Or can Mike Tomlin pull off a windy upset?
Uh-oh.
Steelers are 10-point underdogs to the Bills in Buffalo Sunday at 1 o'clock. I have talked to our local meteorologist, Josh, and he told me it's going to be 25 degrees. The real feel, that's what's important.
Right.
Because it says 25, you go outside, yep. Like, man, it doesn't feel like 25. Mm-hmm. That's the real
Absolutely.
Feel. Real feel is at 8 degrees. The gusts are up to 22. Oof. It might be around 15,
all
but we could see them
things.
Going all the way up to 22 with an inch of snow on the ground. Again, the real feel is 8. I think they're going to have a hard time throwing the ball. Brew? The Bills more likely to make the Super Bowl or lose to the Steelers in this frigid weather.
Lose to the Steelers.
Wow.
Now, I don't think they will, but we have no idea what the Bills are going to do.
Mm-mm.
All right, they lost to Mac Jones. They lost to Zach Wilson.
Yeah.
They almost lost a few weeks ago to Easton Stick.
Yeah, okay. And then almost lost to Zappy.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, they could go out. I think they'll win. I'm going to pick them. But I wouldn't. I would definitely pick them to lose this game rather than get all the way to the Super Bowl. So,
Brew, stop it.
What?
They're not losing to the Steelers.
Okay.
They will more likely make the Super Bowl. Like, you don't win 5 games. They've been playing playoff football since.
They won 7 straight last year heading into the playoffs.
I don't. Yeah, and they went against Joe Burrow.
They almost lost to Skylar Thompson right. In round 1. Almost.
When did
you want to change count. That take
is
now?
It's almost a stat.
It does not.
Oh, it doesn't count? It doesn't count?
Josh,
okay.
You double check.
It counts
that.
A lot when we talk about this Lions-Cowboys game. I'm telling you that much. We talk about Lions-Cowboys game almost winning.
They're more likely
seems
to make
to count
Super Bowl.
More than actually winning.
Like, this is a joke. They're more likely.
A joke,
really?
Yeah, it is. They're not losing to the Steelers.
I mean, I think they got a shot.
I'm not saying that the Steelers absolutely have no shot, because any team that plays against another team, you have a shot to win a game. But in Orchard Park, without your best player, Mason Rudolph, has their offense looked better because of Mason Rudolph? It has. I just don't believe. He hasn't been in this position. So we're now all of a sudden believing,
to me it has nothing to do with the Steelers. It's the Bills. The Bills could just go and have a major F game. That's the only reason I'm picking. You're right, the Steelers are banged up, but no.
Go ahead, Wiles.
Well, I was going to ask Greg a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
If the Steelers were going to win and you had to create an environment for them to win, don't you think it would be a cold, windy, ugly game so Josh can't air it out and we're just trying to win a game, 10-7, and like, wow, Mike Tomlin did it again.
No, I honestly think it would be the opposite. You wouldn't want that, because that would and then promote Josh Allen to want to throw down the field and want to be heroic. In these type of games, he's not going to naturally just say, oh, yeah, let's go down the field, let's force some throws. No, because
like
he understands there's elements.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think the elements favor the Bills. I think it's odd because of the city they play in, but they're not a team that historically has played great in the elements, and they don't seem to have been built for that. We were debating earlier who the MVP is of the NFL, and as we discussed, there's a good argument for Dak, there's a great argument for Lamar. There is no debate on who the LVP of the NFL was. It was Mitch Trubisky, and I can show it to you, because the Steelers this year, when he didn't play, were awesome. Like, now, and to be fair, one of those games he barely played, they would have lost anyway, so call it 10-3. But in games he doesn't touch the field, that Steelers team kicked ass. And so I think that if they had Watt,
that's brutal.
That's so bad.
Well, I'm just telling you what it is.
We didn't know that he was gonna do this.
I'm just telling you it is what it is. That team was 10-2 when Mitch Trubisky had a ball cap on the whole game, and he's not gonna play in this week's game. And so there is that. But then, and I, my gut tells me, because the Steelers don't have T.J. Watt, that the right answer would have been that this is the year Buffalo finally breaks through. And that's what I was going to say until a few hours ago, scrolling Twitter, I came across this piece of footage. And I got to, well, just roll the audio, please, because it's not good.
Hey, we'll see you guys again, huh? Always fun competing against you, brother. I'll see you in a couple weeks, yeah?
Did you hear that? Did you hear what Josh said?
Are you talking about on
Dusty
the
board? Just like... He said, we'll see you guys again. Josh Allen's a smart guy.
Had a shoot or something?
No, I think he was implying, you know, in the postseason, he knew that the Dolphins were playing the Chiefs.
That
so I'm sorry, Josh.
Full.
Josh, you already got put on the board for calling Mahomes one of the best quarterbacks as opposed to what his correct, you know, obviously yeah. nomenclature should be. Now, on the board for C in a couple weeks, will you, Josh? All right, so that means not only are you beating the Steelers, but it also means, of course, Tua and the Dolphins are beating the Chiefs. Greg, you weren't here, by the way.
Yeah,
you got eliminated.
I was aware.
You got eliminated. All the Bengals got eliminated. And we'll see this week. It looks like the Eagles could be eliminated. Maybe Josh gets eliminated. Maybe Tyreek will be eliminated. We'll see. But C in a couple weeks, yikes. I don't know about that.
I see no lies.
See?
Tomorrow, most motivational segment in all of sports, it's the Bud List. No time to talk about the bubble, but we'll talk about it tomorrow at 3 o'clock, medals time. It's Pistons Kings, Darren Fox. Looks like he's got an easy dunk, but because you're playing the Pistons, he did a very Pistons-y thing there and missed it. Sacramento still wins. Detroit has lost. You're not going to believe this. 5 in a row.
Which means, what's that, 32 of 33 for them? All right, bronze medal, Karl Anthony Towns, 28-6-5. In a nice win for a very good Timberwolves team over the Magic. Silver medal. This is a tough one because the stats say he should get the gold. But again, it's the Pistons. So we have to do, you know, adjust for deflation, if you will. 37-10-13 for Domantas Sabonis. We need to get that beam back in here post-basketball football season. And then the gold. Anthony Davis, 41-11-6, and 0 post-game tantrums about the refs. There's the medal stand from last night in the association.
He's balling.
The news this afternoon will stay in the NBA. Kawhi is back with the Clippers. 3 years, $153 million. Brew, he's played in 32 of the Clippers' 36 games this year, and they are hot. With James Harden, we were a little bit worried, but it seems like they figured it out. Ty Lue figured it out, according to LeBron. Are you back on the Clippers?
I like the Clippers. I told you guys when the trade was made, I thought that it could work. The key move, and I'll give Russell Westbrook credit. Now, did Ty Lue go to him privately and say, look, we're going to bring you off the bench, but Russ took credit? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But him going to the bench was the key for them. Because now those three, Harden is an excellent point guard. And with those two, Paul George and Kawhi on the wing, they're dangerous for sure. They're looking good. And Kawhi, very smart move. Typical contract year move. 32 of 36 games he played. The contract's up. Watch him start taking games off probably.
Well, I think it's a bad signing. I think that the reason he didn't have this deal before is because they were afraid, I would imagine, of his health.
Yep.
I do not think a healthy 3 months is reasonable to believe he's going to be
able to
stay healthy.
Don't you think he was doing that to show them?
I don't want to assign that to him, but I don't think Kawhi, I don't think it's Kawhi's fault. I do not think his body is capable of playing a full NBA season. He played essentially a full season in order to show he deserved this contract. I wouldn't assign that deal.
Speak is up next. Shingun in Chicago tonight. We'll be here at 3 o'clock tomorrow.